Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Set no substitute.
How do you look back on the past five games now, heading into an international break, where you get that chance to really sit down and analyse and look ahead now for the final part of the season?
Well, my message to the group before sort of some go on international duty was, look, we don't accept losing games of football, Mill Football Club. We don't accept it. When you come to Elland Road, but you finish like we did, the application was excellent. The fans showed their appreciation for that, and the players showed the appreciation of the fans for coming all this way on a Sunday at the expensive price of a ticket for today. We're together, and 10 points from the five games is a great return. You know, to be the game run of games we've had as well, to go to Leeds, to go to Southampton, to play Watford at home, the individual ability they got, to go to Blackburn, it's a really good return. So we don't accept losing a game of football, but the manner that we lost is Mill-like. We had a go at the right moments, but they've done brilliant. The group's been fantastic. We need the 2-week break now, or the 12-day break now to West Brom, but what a brilliant game to come back to, Max. You know, West Brom at the Den, you know, look, there's some brilliant games. They're another team that's flying. We'll be right at it. The fans will be right behind us. And you know, what a great Easter weekend to look forward to.
Well, that voice needs no introduction, dear listeners. That was, of course, Neil Harris speaking to Max McClellan of Mill Television after yesterday's, in the end, disappointing 2-0 loss up at Leeds United, Elland Road. Disappointing, if not unexpected. I don't think many of us probably were looking, had high hopes for the trip up to Yorkshire yesterday. I thought it was a pretty good performance, in fairness. I don't know what else, what other tactics Neil Harris could have brought to the table, given the state of the Mill squad at the moment. Yesterday's starting 11, just to, you probably know this already, dear listeners, but just for the sake of completeness, Matias Sarkic in goal, Joe Bryan, Jake Cooper, Jeff Tanganga, Ryan Leonard across the back line. Defensive two, some conversation about Jules Savile and especially Billy Mitch, but we'll come back to that almost certainly during the course of today's voicemail show. In front of them, Brooke Norton-Cuffey returning to the starting 11 yesterday. Zian Fleming and George Honeyman up front. Michael Obafemi. It was the usual Neil Harris formula, really. I mean, yesterday's loss brings to an end an unbeaten run since Bomber came back to the Den. Four games, that brings it to a close yesterday. Mill sitting 16th in the table, in the real table, 13th on this form table that I'm looking at here. So last six, we've played won three, drawn one, lost two, which is middle of a diddle form, which is a big improvement, let's be honest, on where we were at prior to the return of Neil. So yeah, I mean, some would say a disappointing result in the end, and some would also point out that we didn't push forward much yesterday. I'm not sure we would ever have expected to. I thought Leeds were a very strong side. Whether they're one of the best sides in the league or not, they're amongst the best three. The league table doesn't lie. And we did a good job of containing them, largely speaking. We weren't threatening, that's for sure. But they weren't threatening either. Up until a moment of real quality in the 32nd minute, when the shot from the edge of the D flew into net. I don't think Sarkic could have done much about that. That was what money buys you, listeners. Quality, the ability to strike a ball from the edge of the D with power into the bottom left, I think it was, wasn't it? made it 1-0. And that rather changed the complexion of the game, because until then we were, if not edging the game, we were contenders. After that, we remained, our focus remained to squelch the game, really, to try and contain Leeds. And we didn't do a bad job at that. Half time came and went. There were some moments of high comedy. How Jake Cooper stayed on the pitch at the end of that first half, I don't honestly know. Thought he was carrying a booking already. The referee was a bit book happy. Yellow card happy, I suppose you should call it. Modern parlance. But I've got a note here, 43 minutes. Jake dodges another bullet. Another bullet. He's really dodged a couple, listeners. A knee on the Leeds United forward. I thought we need him in the face. I mean, others were saying that it's more chest. I thought we took him in the mush. And a handball shout for good measure. But somehow we got through to half time. On a wing and a prayer, the listeners, the football gods were smiling upon us, really, even though we were 1-0 down. Could have been, should have been more, in truth. Second half, more of the same, really. And then the settling situation, in the end, came after a four-way substitution. I mean, I remember when Neil Harris was with us previously, there was always a bit of a debate about his substitution policy. It was always too little, too late, by many people's standards. But you couldn't say that yesterday. A four-way substitution on the 61st minute, which opened the game up, leading to the eventual settlement when Leeds went 2-0 up on 78. But bringing in the likes of McNamara, Watmore, Denoir, who's a person being regularly mentioned online today as a man that should be starting over Billy Mitchell particularly and Ryan Longman, we looked a lot more open once that four-way sub was made. I was trying to think when I've last seen a four-way substitution in a competitive match. I mean, it's a friendly kind of move generally, isn't it, listeners? If you can think of when that might be, do let me know, on Twitter, on X, or in any of the comments on YouTube or anywhere else you can get hold of me, because I can't think of many situations when in a league game, competitive game, we've made a four-man switch. But it certainly opened up Millwall. Allowed Leeds probably a bit more space to attack us, and that was our downfall. We were one goal behind, and as the half was wearing on, we were starting to try and chase it a little bit. And then, by luck, we managed to stay at it until the 78th minute, when it was a good break and a really good finish, in truth, from the 6-yard box for the Leeds. And 2-0 was game, set, and match for Leeds. For me, overall, it was a fighting Millwall performance. I said on the show yesterday, I was speaking to Harry and to Michael when we did a show yesterday, straight after the game, that the thing that was most refreshing for me, I think Neil Harris is touching on it in that opening quote that we've just started the show with, is there was a proper Millwall performance in the sense of not necessarily being the most slick or flowing performance you'll ever see. But we brought some spine to the occasion. That's what's not been around for a long while. So it did at least feel like a Millwall versus Leeds game yesterday, albeit we're outclassed in the end by a decent side. So, that was my take on proceedings yesterday. I don't think I'm saying anything you probably haven't read one way or the other online. But this is today the much-loved, the beloved voicemail reaction show. A big thank you to everyone who sent stuff in for us today. Let's open our voicemail account, dear listeners, with Matt Webb. Take it away, Matt.
Morning, Nick. Matt Webb here, calling in after yesterday's result against Leeds. I'll always leave it maybe about 24 hours afterwards so that I can digest and maybe even on this occasion re-watch the game. Look, let's be honest. Even the most optimistic person who in a Millwall shirt wouldn't have thought that we would get anything out of this game today. Leeds are up there for a reason. They're unbeaten at home for a reason, and they've gone, I think they've not lost in this calendar year. So come on, let's not make, even if we got a point, I think we could have celebrated that as if it was a win. Anywho, I still think, watching yesterday's game, I've got no qualms that we will be absolutely fine. There's something about that team, attacking-wise, that I feel we've got more than enough to be nowhere near that bottom three, if I'm completely honest with you. normally after a defeat, everyone's all doom and gloom, and you know the world's going to end, and that's it. Fold the club, etc., etc. But you know what? No, not on this occasion, mate. I think definitely is a lot of positivity to come from that. However, there are a few things I do need to get off my chest, and the first one is Jake Cooper. First half, his head was gone. His head. He wasn't playing football the way it should be played, in my opinion. He let that non-toe get under his skin, and he was lucky to be on the pitch, if I'm really honest with you. He kind of was out there for a scrap as opposed to actually playing football and being a captain. And I wasn't best impressed with that, if I'm really honest with you. I do think that affects his football. So that's something's got to be changed. The second one is evidence to say suggest that Norton Cuffey can't play in Harris's style of football in his system. I thought he was woeful, and I will be honest, I thought he was absolutely woeful and non-existent yesterday, playing in that position. In fact, when the subs came on, there was a bit of a difference. Kasper Nohr coming back on showed a little bit more promise in that midfield, and I do believe it wasn't the best games of Billy Mitchell. I thought Saville was effective, and obviously breaking up play as midfielders should do. But I also feel that that's going to be a change, I think, for the West Brom game. I would actually drop Mitchell, and I think Harris needs to understand that he's got his go-to guys that he's always had and trusted over the course of time, but now he needs to look at the squad itself and go, right, well, actually, who are the better players quality-wise that can do that job? And so I feel like maybe that's a swap for the next game. I thought Obafemi did really well. Lone striker against the defence of Rondon. And you've got to look at it from this perspective. Is when he had the ball, there were three players around Leeds. Now, if he was a shit striker, he wouldn't have three players hounding him down. So Leeds obviously done their homework on him, and fair play, that's really like good. But what does that tell you about the player? That he's a good player. And I felt sorry for him yesterday. I thought he tried his best, and you know, on another day, a couple of them would have probably been a bit more on target or even hit the back of the net. I know one of them, Melia, saved. So, you know, I thought he did really well. I thought Fleming done really well as well. As well, building up. So there's a small little partnership building between them two, which was really effective. Apart from that, as I say, I can't knock anyone else, and I won't knock anyone else. I thought Sarkic again is getting better each game, and he's definitely filling that number one position with more confidence. Definitely. A couple of great saves yesterday, and I think people need to make sure they appreciate that. So, you know, let them have a couple of weeks off, reset, and basically get West Brom out the window, out the way, and then things will be looking rosy. So everyone have a lovely break, and I'll see you at Easter. Come on, you Lions.
Big thank you, Matt. Great stuff. And do you know what? I'm going to let you in. I'm going to reveal the curtain, as Harry put it nicely yesterday, on the Achtung magic, the view of the, you know, it's like when Dorothy gets to see the Wizard of Oz finally, it turns out to be an old man with crankshaft thing going. I was actually taking some notes on my iPad, listeners, whilst Matt was speaking to refer back to, and the app seems to have collapsed on me. So all the notes I took as I was going to make reference to Matt's really nicely composed review of yesterday have all gone. So I'm going to have to speak from my increasingly fraught memory, 63-year-old memory. Jake Cooper. Yeah, I mean, I like the spirit that we brought to the game yesterday, Matt. I thought that it was a bit of a welcome contrast with the wishy-washy style that we've been seeing under successive managers, Rowett for long periods as well, but also especially in the late period of, if there was an early period of Joe Edwards, it was a late period of Joe Edwards, it really went wishy-washy, didn't it? But of course there's a fine line between Millwall spirit and the Millwall way and this Millwallness thing that that Neil Harris speaks about. And everyone knows what he's talking about with that. At the same time, referees will look askance on crunching tackles, almost semi-assaults on players, and you know, you're going to get penalties, free kicks, and cards conceded. And I agree with you, Matt. I thought Jack was lucky to be on the pitch. There was a clear handball. Thank God there's no VAR in the Championship. I'm sure it's going to come because we are increasingly in a bracket that is, you know, imitating the kind of Americanization of football, which with endless video reviews and all the rest of it, delay the game and all this kind of thing. So it's going to come, but thankfully not there at the moment, because otherwise I think poor old Jake would have been having the old proverbial early bath. I thought it showed a lot of discipline in the second half not to be sent off. So there's a two-sided coin there, isn't there? Because on the one hand, he was carrying a yellow. He dodged a red card by the skin of his teeth. But to actually stay on the pitch for the second half, I thought was not bad. So there's the duality of Jake. The good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak. That's a three-way thing, not a duality. Yeah, Brook Norton Cuffey wasn't his best game yesterday. Whether he fits into the Harris mode of play, I don't know. Very talented boy. I think one thing I would say, and I know this is a regular feature of, you know, we spoke to Tony the other day, Tony Monday, on the show, and the critique of the Neil Harris approach is that it is all scrap and fight and kick and, you know, all the rest of it. Fight for every inch of a blade of grass, almost Churchillian style, which appeals to the Millwall in me. Of course it does. You can't beat quality. As we saw yesterday, in the end, quality tells. So a little bit of quality in the Mill side won't go amiss, because if nothing else, it means we keep the ball further down the pitch and the heat off of our defence. Tanganga, what a player. He's only on loan, though. We're going to send him back to Spurs, an improved player at the end of the season. I know that's the nature of the business that we're in, listeners. But I thought he like Obafemi, and I know Jim mentioned Obafemi, but Jeff Tanganga as well. Two of our best players are on loan, so there's a storyline in there. But yeah, I thought it was a fighting performance, and we're unlucky to. In a way, it reminded me of the Southampton game where we're up against a clearly, you know, stronger side, superior side, if you want to use that word, but where we had the luck of the break against Southampton and got ourselves in front. Lady Luck didn't smile on us in the end yesterday. So any road, big thank you to Matt Webb. Next up on our succession of voicemails, big thank you to everyone who sent stuff. Let's have a listen to Mark Barnsley.
Hi Nick, it's Barnsley here. Yeah, I thought we done okay today. I think we, you know, we basically set the team out like we have been, you know, be very compact, hard to break down. And it was going okay until the guy obviously hit that weldie just before half time. And yeah, you know, everyone was, you know, the sky Leeds loving, you know, apparently we played the team that's going to win the World Cup, the Champions League, UEFA Cup, you know, the Milk Cup, Littlewood's Cup, every cup, you know, it's just Leeds loving, isn't it, from Sky Sports. And, you know, Cooper's, you know, should have been sent off, really. Didn't think it was that bad. The guy elbowed him on the, you know, in the face while he was down. But, yeah, you know, I think, personally, I don't think we done too much in the first half. We weren't really going to score. But, you know, we were compact. We played, you know, we were holding them until the guy scored that weldy. Second half, we made the substitutions. You know, we're bringing in Longman, Watmore, you know, Danny and, you know, Casper. And I thought we looked okay. You know, we were passing the ball around lovely. I don't really feel that they were sort of getting out of third, fourth gear. But, you know, and then the goal, you know, the goal kick, you know, killed us off. But, you know, I think we should have, you know, the results yesterday, maybe that sort of dictated the way we played today. Where we, you know, did we need a result? Probably not. It's a bit of a free hit, to be honest. And, you know, I think it's all about getting everyone through the game. You know, no injuries, because, you know, we've got no one up front. You know, Femi played 90-odd minutes plus, which is good. He looked sharp, you know, a few times. You know, not one with a header, and you know, I was offside. But, you know, did we really like we were going to score? Not really. But, you know, it's a free hit. We got up there. We didn't get embarrassed. Under Edwards, we might have conceded a lot more goals than that. So I think it's just getting the result done. And we move on to the next game. And we, you know, that's the results we need to start winning. But, like, you know, as I said, we played against, you know, the best team in the world today, according to Sky Sports. And, you know, we should be bowing to them people. And the stadium's amazing. The people are amazing. It just pisses me off, mate. You know, yeah, you know, Leeds have a big team. And, you know, my in-laws are all from Leeds. And, you know, I love them. I think they're great. But really, do we have to bow to them so much like we have to on Sky Sports? And I think they're on next week, funny enough. But, yeah. Anyway, I don't really care about the result today. It's all about not getting injuries and making sure we win the next few games and we stay up. But, you know, there's a few passages of football there where we were passing the ball nicely. It was nice. And I think, you know, we stay up, we move on, we get better next year and we can mix it by playing long football, short passes, you know, get that big striker up front. We need someone like that just to hold the ball up. But hey-ho. We lose a game. First game under Harris we lost. I'd have taken that when he took the job. Anyway, mate, take care. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Bonesy. Yeah, Leeds. They did love Leeds on Sky Television, didn't they, mate? They always do. I suppose they're living on the kind of past reputation of the 70s and then to some level, I suppose, through the 80s and 90s, they were successful. 90s more than the 80s, perhaps. It's a strange rivalry, I find, the Mill versus Leeds rivalry. Is it really a big, proper rivalry for you, dear listeners? I know the fans are always up for it. It's a big day out, and for both of them, actually, for both sets, Leeds like coming down Mill. I think it's because, in the end, you know, we get under their skin, and they have delusions of grandeur, and I think they just get used to teams rolling over for them. And of course, until Joe Edwards, maybe that wasn't the Millwall way. It's not the Millwall way now again. Now we've got Bomber Harris back. So I think there's a certain delusional quality to Leeds fans. And I suppose that provides high amusement. But Sky Television certainly are in their, you know, they're fanboys on there. The Casper De Noor versus Billy Mitchell debate is an interesting one. It's doing the rounds on Twitter. I think it was Tony. I've just been trying to find the post that Tony put on there about the number of passes that Casper De Noor made in his brief half an hour or so when he came in versus the amount of passes that Billy made. I thought we looked a lot better with Casper De Noor. I suppose what we're not is we're not as industrious, which is what Neil is elevating to be the route to salvation. And it's in fairness, you know, the results have been doing the talking. Yesterday's first defeat since Neil came to us. So that's two defeats in six, or one defeat in five, I suppose, if you're looking at it purely as a Neil Harris perspective, on that perspective there. So far, so good. I think safety is now within grasp. Whether that means that Neil will start to look, you know, raise our sights slightly, maybe rest Billy for the West Brom game, I don't think he will, listeners, do you? I think the West Brom game might see Brook Milton Cuffey on the bench and Watmore coming in, but otherwise I think it'll be the same starting 11, in all honesty, because that's going to be another difficult game. They're a difficult side, a good quality side. We've got obviously Jed playing for them. We know what he can do. And I think that it's going to be high drama at the Den. It's going to be a big atmosphere. There's going to be the pantomime stuff with Jed. And, you know, it's going to be one of those games where if we can scratch out a point, we probably would have done very well. So I don't see Neil Harris making this much discussed and much sought after change between Billy and Casper De Noor. Where he might think about it, I think, listeners, is the Easter Monday trip to Rotherham, who are, you know, clearly they're not quite relegated yet, but they're down and out at the moment. Maybe there we could start to rely on the more creative aspects of Casper's game. I don't know. We'll see. But I think Neil is certainly going to rely on his tried and trusted lieutenants for that West Bromwich Albion game. Big thank you there, Barnsley. Let's have a listen now to John Rankin, who went up there yesterday. Big shout out to John.
Hello, Nick. John Rankin just calling in for Acton Millwall. And yeah, we've been up to Leeds. We're just sitting on the coach waiting to go. There's a little bit of a fracas outside. The police are getting overly interested in one of our supporters. I can't really see what's going on. I'm pretty tired as well, so I think I'll give it a miss and just stay on the coach. Yeah, what can you say about that? I mean, Millwall played, I thought, played really well. We all put 100% in. Every single player put 100% in. And I think it was... we were stronger in the second half. There were some very good performances. I think the standard of refereeing was absolutely appalling. We got nothing from the referee. Obafemi had a couple of chances in the second half, and we did well to keep Leeds down to two goals, I think. You know, there's not a lot to be embarrassed about. I think we acquitted ourselves well. I think all the players did quite, you know, put a lot of work in, as did the away support. My man of the match, really, I think, in terms of how we played, I think George Saville played absolutely brilliantly, put himself around a lot. We were unlucky to pick up bookings, and we were unlucky not to get something for the game. I think a 1-1 draw would have been a fairer result, and if things had gone our way, just a few more passes, we'd have definitely scored. So there you are. It's a lively old game, fantastic atmosphere at End Road. There's a lot of aggression brewing outside, but I think everything's okay now. So, over and out. All the best to Acton Millwall. Support the Lions Food Hub. Come on, you Lions.
Seconded to that, John. Some nice footage there, listeners, of the hubbub in the Leeds car park. Leeds versus Millwall car park. Bit of a fracas going on. We've all been there, we all know what the situation is there. So big thank you, John, for describing that very delicately, I thought, John. Yeah, I agree. We weren't embarrassed yesterday, and I think probably that was base camp on the assault on Mount Leeds, wasn't it? I thought once we went that goal behind in the first half, we're always up against it because we just don't have much to play with going forwards. Dear old Obafemi, I think he's a good quality striker. Put a lot of effort in yesterday and almost squirmed his way through, especially in the second half after we started to open up a little bit. But difficult. He needs more support. He needs more assistance, and we just don't have those resources fit and on the bench at the moment. I think Harry mentioned yesterday when we were speaking the poor quality recruitment that we've had for some time. That comes back to the club. That comes back to the director of football, which is Alex. We don't have an embarrassment of riches going forwards, especially. And when you see how other teams are doing at the moment, especially Coventry, congratulations to them actually for that excellent FA Cup win yesterday. But that's what we should be looking at. That's what we should be aspiring to. You know, I believe it can be done, but you've got to pick and choose your signings very, very well. Not easy, I do get that, but that's the nature of the game that we're in, and that's the business. So, you know, man of the match, Saville, I wouldn't argue with you there, John. I thought Tanganga, again, put in a really strong performance, and it was a fighting performance, but we're always on the downhill slope there. So, yeah, huge thank you to John Rankin. Let's go now with Paul Cree, and then we'll listen to Jim Hackett.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah,
That plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, Nick. Paul Creer here, just messaging in after the Leeds Millwall game. Watched it on the telly. Probably not going to add a lot that anyone else is going to add, but you know what? I can't really complain with that. I thought we were pretty good second half, playing a much more superior team. But we battled and we scrapped, and there were a couple of moments where I thought we looked quite good. If only we were just a bit better with second balls, I think. And then when we had the ball, just being a bit more clinical with it. I thought Obafemi did well today, ran his socks off, and I can see him proving himself to be a bit of a handful the more confident and fitter he gets. I thought Fleming got stronger and stronger as the half went on. Tandanga was decent. First half, Cooper's being a bit of a liability. Again, he's lucky to be on the pitch, I think. But aside from Cooper, really, I don't really know who had much of a bad game. I thought Honeyman, in terms of those second balls, I felt he was losing or giving, when he got the second balls, he was giving them away, or he wasn't quite getting the second balls. I don't know if that's his height or maybe just hasn't quite got the control with his feet. But all in all, it was a pretty decent performance, and on another day, we might have even nicked a goal. Thought Saville was decent, but yeah, if we play like that for the rest of the season, I'll be happy. Anyway, nice one. Cheers, Paul.
Afternoon, Nick. Jim Hackett here. Just straight after the game, just watched Neil Harris's interview. Didn't really give too much away on it. And I think it was a difficult watch this afternoon. I watched it on the first half. Funny enough, I watched it with a Leeds stream. And the second half, I watched on Sky. And if you listen to the Leeds commentators, you'd have thought we were just out there killing their players. They weren't happy at all. They're constantly going on about Cooper and vicious assaults on their players and that. So I just took it as what it was. The entitled Premier League teams not used to people getting in their faces and putting challenges in. So I was slightly disappointed with the first half, funny enough, because we really didn't get hold of the ball at all. We didn't do anything when we did get hold of it. And it was just one-way ticket. And I thought, if we were going to get out of there, you know, not conceding too many more, then we'd have done well. I think the two goals that they did score, two good goals. I know there was a slight hint of offside for their second one, but unless you've got VAR, then, you know, it's one of those things, you just don't get it. But the first goal, it all really stemmed from the cock-up between Norton Cuffey and I think it was Brian, where the ball ended up sort of back with the goalkeeper, but it was where it started, and then we got the goal kick, and it sort of led to them getting going forward, and Nonto, to be fair, scored a fantastic goal. But like I say, the first half, really poor, I thought. We're just trying to survive and stay in the game, but, you know, we did well to get in at 1-0. Second half, I thought we were a little bit brighter, a little bit more solid looking. And I don't know if that was us playing better or Leeds taking their foot off, or a mixture of both. But I think the nice thing was when he did make the four substitutions, that we actually looked quite bright after that. And you know, the way the game panned out, they got their second goal, and it's unfortunate because, you know, it ended up with a spunky little cross ball into the box that just evaded a couple of players. And then even James then took his time with his finish. And even then, it still evaded some of our players. And it was unfortunate. But I think before the game, we knew we weren't going to win it. So, you know, to come away 2-0 after looking like we could get a right good hiding first half, then, you know, OK, we'll swallow it. The Leeds game isn't going to define our season. I think there's more important games. And looking at our running, we've certainly got winnable games in there. And we've got drawable games in there as well. So another 5-6 points and we'll be fine. And I think looking at that today, if that had been a team from earlier in the season, I think we'd have got not just a good hiding, but I think the heads would have been further and further down than they already were. I think Neil Harris has got them playing hard. And
chasing around, you know, and they're doing the hard work that required or that's required, and they'll get the results from it, because, you know, they're too good to go down when you look. And I thought the team he put out today, I thought Norton Cuffey was a peripheral figure, and I just wonder whether this style of football suits him rather than a longman type player who can get himself in and out and sort of put himself about a bit. So again, it's the jury's always going to be out, I think, on wide wing players. But the one player I do think does deserve a mention, and I think somehow Neil's got to try and get him in the team, is Casper De Noor. As soon as he came on, he changed our game completely. And I think he can play to this system, and I think he will add to it, to what Harris is trying to do. I think he'll make us a better team on the ball because of that. It will be harsh on Billy, and it will probably be Billy that makes way for it. But it would be great if there was a way to get Billy, Sav and Casper into the same team and work on us going forward, because I think Casper is too good a player for us not to be playing him. And if we don't play him, he'll probably leave, and I think we'll all be very disappointed with that. So for me, I think pluses today, Tanganga. Sarkic, again, looks quite tidy to me now. He looks like a different goalkeeper. So him, Tanganga. I thought Saville had quite a decent game. And Obafemi, if he could just get that little bit of luck that his quick feet and his movement that sort of deserve, then, you know, we'll be fine there. And I also thought for the last half an hour, I thought Fleming put himself about a bit and looked good on the ball. He wasn't frightened to try little things in difficult areas, and it came off for him. I think where he's just got to chase around, I think it's a different game for him. But once he's got somebody who can get the ball to him, which Casper and Saville did do for the last half an hour, then I think there's Ian Fleming that we all love, and with the best will in the world, you know, we need him to still get a couple of goals for the end of the season. So overall, I think it's a result we probably expected. We go on to the next game against West Brom on the 29th. And I think after that, our running doesn't look too bad. When you look at other teams running, then I think we'll be comfortably set back in the Championship for next year. So let's hope we can get the points we need rapid. Okay, over and out. And come on, you Lions.
Top stuff from Jim. As always, big thank you, Jim Hackett there. Yeah, I think you're right. Another 5 or 6 points, a couple of wins will probably take us to near safety. When you look at the league table, Jim, I mean, other results were pretty kind to us this weekend, given that we were probably going to get what we got yesterday, so a loss. But other results have kind of fallen our way to a large extent. Mill sitting 16th, I think I said that at the start of the show, 43 points. The bottom three, the crucial three, Huddersfield on 39, Birmingham just above them, fourth from bottom, 39, QPR on 40, Sheffield Wednesday on 38 in 23rd position, Rotherham nowhere. I think Rotherham are as good as relegated now. So it's very tight, but there's a lot of bodies between us and that bottom three. That's not any reason to take our foot off the gas pedal. But as you say, Jim, we've got an away trip to Rotherham and then a trip to Huddersfield. We've got to be looking for points out of those two fixtures, because I think if we can get that, that'll take us somewhere towards the high 40s, and that should give us salvation. And I think if Neil Harris can achieve that, well, what a miracle worker, given where we were, you know, looking not that long ago. But it's not there yet, so I won't. I'll cancel the celebration party just for the moment. Hard work, yeah. Hard work is what's got us there. So I do agree with you, Jim, about Casper De Noor. It's a big point of conversation online, and you know, many, many people make the same point. We need as much creativity and passing ability as we can possibly crowbar into our side. It's one area where we're falling short at the moment. We certainly saw it yesterday. And I do wonder whether these fixtures at Rotherham, possibly Huddersfield, will be where we see the return of Casper, because I like him. I think he's a good player. And whether that can include a three-way midfield of Casper, Billy and Jules? I don't know. I'm not even going to speculate on that. I'm not football minded enough to say how that could come to pass. But certainly it'd be nice to see him back in the side. Big thank you before, Jim, to Paul Cree. I think you're right, Paul, just going back to your message. If we play like we did yesterday, the remainder of the season, with the spirit and the intent we saw in flashes, we'll be safe. I do agree with that. Okay, I'm going to close the voicemail section now with a final two. One is from Chicago Joe. Sounds like he'll be playing pool in some downtown speakeasy. And then, of course, the moment everyone waits for is Bobby T. Take it away, Joe, and then Bobby.
Hello, hello, Joe from Chicago. Pretty much the result we expected, and honestly, I'm going to keep it as a win. Just because Jake Cooper didn't get sent off for that penalty shout when he kneed the guy on Leeds in the stomach in the penalty area would have been a second yellow. So at least he avoided suspension. I will continue to be on the Joe Bryan hate train because that dude is just mediocre despite having all the talent in the world. If he played with an edge, he'd be so good, but clearly that's not the player he is. Sarkic, turning into a really good goalkeeper. He saved that game from being 4-5-0. Made a lot of good saves, but just really aggressive off his line. So that was fun to watch. Other than that, yeah, that was not fun. For my work, I saw 9 goals yesterday. And I can honestly say today, watching this, was a downer. But what are you going to do? Come on, you Lions. It's an okay weekend. We got some time off. God, our lack of strikers really screws us. Because Obafemi's fine, but expecting him to do anything more than 60 minutes is ambitious, to put it kindly. All right. Love this team. Hope everyone over there is doing well. Getting towards springtime here in Chicago, which is always a terrifying thing. And my normal drive to get home from Soldier Field that takes 10 minutes took me an hour yesterday because it's St. Patrick's Day. So if you want to come to Chicago and drink too much, that is the day for you. Either way, cheers. Sorry for going on so long. Tough game. What are you going to do? Come on, you Lions.
Nick Hart, Bobby T here. Just got back to London from the fucking South Yorkshire fucking bastards. And you know what? I mean, like, some of our fans might be, I'm not saying delusional, but like, I'm not saying any TV channel like Achter Millwall is the best. Love it. Love Millwall podcast. But some fans, we're going to go there today and we know what we're going to get. We're going to go, like a game plan. Or this was like a free hit win. We're going to go, we're never going to lose. I'm quite frustrated, Nick Hart, because for me, as a passionate Millwall fan, we go to home and away, whether it's Lincoln City, Real Madrid City in Germany. Yes, Leeds are sleeping giants. I fucking get it. Although, you know, they're the second in the league. But today, I don't want to go into any match to go and lose a game. I'm not saying our players today went there for a fight. We didn't really fight, did we? Let's be honest. One great goal and then Dan James. And I love Harris Tibbetts and all that, but I'm trying to say to you, I never want to go into a game, no, we're going to lose, or don't worry, it'll be 2-0, we'll lose this game. We're going to set up shop, game plan. For me, no, I'm really frustrated today because we could have gone there and shot the world, like Southampton away. But I think our players didn't fight today. And Harris brings on the subs, I get it, Longman, Denor. But what does it, I mean, again, Edwards, Gary Rara, and Harris, I love Harris to bits, but what's your take on it? Like, this kind of game, youngster, essay. I mean, I'm not saying Harris is not a fan of his, but, I mean, at 1-0 down, I don't know if he pushed and all that, but why can't essay get any game time at all? He was Edwards' friend. Now essay can't even get a look in. I'm not saying he would have changed the game to Leeds and Tatanga. Tatanga today, yeah, he slipped on the vital goal, on the second goal, but what do you reckon, though? Forget the Tanga now. I mean, even like Cooper and all that, like, where's Harden? I mean, has he been killed? I mean, the Ghostbusters? Has he been frozen out? I mean, he's shit anyway, but I just thought today, like, we were going to at least, you know, do the Millwall passionate, grab a late winner. And people say, oh, miles above or Leeds, or we knew what we were going to go for. Everyone's happy. Well, I'm not happy because really and truly, we're not safe yet. I mean, what's your take? Bobby T signing off, going to London, long journey. Leeds, they're not that good. Yeah, they're second for a reason. Yeah, I get it, but we just gave them too much respect. There's no fight to... Apparently, yeah, Sarkic, yeah, great saves. I get it. Anyway, Bobby T signing off. West Brom at home now. See you next week. Oh, no. And Bobby T here again. I'm just going to finish it off again. Like, look at the manager we've sacked. Edwards, Gareth, Walk, Harris, I love. But look what Coventry are doing in the Championship. Mark Robbins, like the longest ever manager. And Coventry are sixth. Didn't they come from League One? And they're asleep in giant Coventry City back in the old days. You know, so, I mean, look at their strikers. Ellis Sims, I mean, Casey Palmer, Ellis Sims. Had you right? And then we get Bradshaw and I'm not saying Coventry, but shouldn't that be Millwall in where, like, Coventry, yeah, top six, longest seven manager? Why can't we do that? And I love Harris to do that. And we play the Millwall way, ugly way. Just giving my I'm just very frustrated today. Bobby T here, basically. I got London from the fucking Yorkshire fucking bastards. I mean, fucking no fight today. And Harris, yeah, it's his first loss. We've won three, drawn one. Are we safe? I don't think we fucking are. Because thank God yesterday it went for us. But now, West Brom, they're in the playoffs now. They're relaxed. Can we get a point? Rotherham, Huddersfield. These are like dog fight games. Anyway, I'm going to go now. Weekend has been ruined. I'm glad Man United beat Liverpool 4-3, the Scouse bastards. Millwall, I love you. We go again, West Brom. We still need 6 points to be definitely safe. Bye for now, Bobby T. Love you all. Millwall.
That's the inimitable Bobby T. I always like to think that when I do my stuff, watching the game, listeners, I do a stream of consciousness. I don't think I can compete with Bobby's stream of consciousness. Some great, actually also including Joe before him, some great hate going down there. West Yorkshire, Joe Bryan, hate train. I want to buy tickets on that train, Joe. Big thank you to Bobby and to Joe there. I don't know about no fight, Bobby. I mean, I've got to disagree with you there, mate, because I thought we brought much more fight out there. Yes, it had been a boxing match, a UFC championship, the way that Jake Cooper was, you know, going at the end of the first half. I thought he was lucky to remain on the pitch. So I can't say that we didn't bring any fight. You can always talk about the focus of the tactics, the rights and wrongs of the Harris approach. I get that. I don't know what other options, really. I think I made the point yesterday that he's trying to play the hand of cards he's been dealt, and the results are doing the talking. Yes, he was the first loss that Harris has had in five games, so that's not a bad turnaround. It's not bad. Underplay it, Nick. It's actually a pretty good turnaround from where we were under Joe Edwards. SA, yeah, I don't... I mean, we spoke about him yesterday on the other show. No sign of him yesterday. He's on the bench. I suppose, if I'm going to be devil's advocate, so to speak, you look at Michael Obafemi, very strong guy. Short, of course, squat, but strong. I wouldn't want to take him on in a wrestling match, or, you know, maybe like old Sylvester Stallone, you know, over the top, an arm wrestling competition. I wouldn't fancy my chances up against Michael Obafemi. So the only way we're going to create any chances, maybe, with the resources we have, is to try and force power, you know, force his way through. He nearly got through a couple of times, Michael, yesterday. That was just by sheer willpower combined with muscle, and nearly forced a couple of moments, a couple of openings against a strong Leeds defence. Is Roman Essay as strong as Michael Obafemi for that kind of work, listeners? Is he, he's more of an artist, isn't he? Would you have him in a kind of a high intensity situation like that where workload's going to be hard? Michael Obafemi is a very, very skillful player, and he can do the hard yards, and we saw that, I've seen it in the last three games, whilst he rebuilds his confidence. I imagine it's that kind of thing that is keeping Roman Esse sitting on the bench. Where's Harding, you ask about, Bob? Yeah, no place for him. Probably not Sean Hutchinson on the bench yesterday, and also with Murray Wise. I think I'd probably take, you know, Murray can play central, he can play left, and Hutch is obviously club captain still, I think. So probably you don't want a third central defender on the bench. So it's tough on Wes. It's tough on Wes. I've quite liked him. No hate train for Wes. The Joe Bryan H, I've written that down. I'll keep looking at it. Anyway, big thank you to everyone who's contributed their voice notes for today's show. If you want to get involved in Achtung Millwall, you can do. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can direct message me. There's an option on there to send a voice note message. Just press that and speak into your device's microphone, and it'll come through to me. If you prefer to do a voice note via WhatsApp, I'm cool with that. Just give me a shout on X, and we can exchange numbers. I really appreciate everyone sending in post-match comment, midweek comment, whatever kind of comment you want. As long as it's within the law, laws of England, and libel and slander, I will do my best to carry it. So a big thank you to everyone for getting in touch. And do join in, dear listener, do join in. Just to close us today, it's a bit of a hodgepodge of a show in some ways. It's a smorgasbord. The Scandinavians have smorgasbord, don't they? Bits and pieces. I've picked out a couple of emails or comments. One's a YouTube comment. We published a show, well, it gets published automatically on Acast onto YouTube. It always fascinates me that people listen to a sound podcast on YouTube. I am told that some work firewalls prevent, you know, podcast sites, but YouTube seems to be one of those, like a Google kind of idea, that it's just generally available. So you can listen to stuff on YouTube. It presents just as a black screen with our badge, but they will play the podcast on YouTube. So people listen to it on YouTube, which is fascinating to me. But I've had comments. Big thank you to everyone who comments on our YouTube shows. But I've picked one out here from Andy Herbert, and he's talking about what he describes as the Harris haters. The Harris haters. Are you a Harris hater, listener? He asks, what can the man do? Talking about when we were back in League One, he says he rescued us from playing in League Two. He builds a team from nothing. He lays the foundation of players for us to stay in the Championship. He rescues us from certain oblivion. When are you guys, that's all you Harris haters out there, if you define yourself as that, when are you guys going to realise we don't have the funds to get Brazilian-type players? We've had good managers such as Jackett and Mowat. They took us as far as they could with what was available. Mill owes Harris our Championship credentials. He deserves to manage Mill. He deserves to manage Mill next season. More than us fans deserve to watch Mill in the Championship. That's harsh stuff, Andy. You're all Harris haters. You mean the show? Is that what you're talking about, mate? Because I would very, very strongly disagree with that. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that's a Harris hater. I mean, there are critics of some aspects of the style, but Neil Harris is a Mill legend, and I think every single person I can think of on the show, including some that maybe have been critical of Neil's managerial footballing style, also made the point it's been effective, and at the end of the day, we're all here to get 3 points. So I don't know there's any Mill haters on this show. I disagree with that, Andy. You all love Edwards. I wanted Edwards to do well because I think he represented a vision of the next level of football we probably need to get to. I wouldn't mind if Neil Harris could take us to a next level of football. I wasn't loving Joe Edwards personally. I don't think anyone else loved Joe Edwards. It's the idea of the football that he's playing. It's very strangely phrased at times, some of these messages. Edwards was a useless manager who, if good enough, would have known it wasn't time to try tippy-tappy football. I don't think he was useless. I think he came into a squad that A, weren't convinced of his style, B, weren't willing to cooperate with him to produce what he was trying to put into practice. And probably there was a certain naivety, but that's on the club to appoint him to try and change style in a season where, you know, matters aren't cut and dried. That's not Joe Edwards' fault, listeners. That's on the people that appointed him, and let's name names. That's on Steve Cavanagh, Jimmy Barrelson, and to whatever extent Alex Aldridge had a hand in that. They appointed a man to try and change direction a direction that I approve of, but maybe at the wrong time. That's where the criticism lies. He says, Millwall was a League One club with few resources. We plunge above our weight. Yeah, to some extent. I get where you're coming from there. He says he feels for Harris. He gives his all for everyone at Millwall, and everyone turns on him. Well, I don't know if anyone turning on him. We don't deserve Harris. This might be Mrs. Harris writing this. We don't deserve Harris. He gave me the best Mill experiences, such as winning at Wembley, beating Leicester, Everton, Watford, Bournemouth, and now saving us. Just to name anything, just name me anything to match up to that under Edwards and Rowett. Well, Edwards wasn't here long enough for that. But I agree. I mean, those are all big cup tie type moments, aren't they? Let's get it right. And I think, in all honesty, I don't think you and me are going to agree on this, Andy, but I think on this particular show, I'd take great care for it not to be just mere destruction. You know, online, everyone can see this when you go on the various types of, podcasts, vlogs, whatever you want to call them. Shocking people and coming out with kind of clickbait type stuff is easy. I don't buy it. I don't need it. I don't believe in it. And what I would like for this show to be is something a little bit more intelligent than just Edwards shit, Harris brilliant, Harris whatever, Edwards brilliant. It don't work like that. We try and put a bit of nuance into this show. So I don't buy that. It will be... it says, the Harris haters might fuck us up. Well, we don't know what's going to happen next season. We've got to be safe yet this season. If Neil Harris achieves safety in the Championship, it'll be one of his major managerial achievements. And I think that, you know, despite a lot of the conversation that's gone on this show about next season, a lot of it will be on, if Neil wanted to stay and try to form some approach, some footballing style in a squad to compete in the Championship with hopefully some funds to make it happen, then he would have earned that right, because we were adrift. I think casting it as simplistically as that, Andy, I don't agree with it, mate. I'm sorry. But anyway, thank you for your message on YouTube. Do keep sending messages. I do read them all. That was a long one. It just struck me as one that stood out. And just to close us, there's another Neil Harris focused message from Mike Bissica. Big shout out to you, Mike. I know you're listening, mate. I think Mike's point on this email he sent a few days ago now is that many Millwall fans have no grasp of Millwall history. I mean, I think a lot of the modern kids probably have some delusional idea that we are a side that is historically successful. We are historically not successful, and these are the golden days that we're in. I mean, most of my Millwall following life have been spent in the drabbest areas of the third division, looking downwards rather than upwards. So Mike makes the point, Neil's technical skills as a manager are being questioned. His man management is evident. I agree. For the moment he came back, for example, putting his arm around a player as he comes off. When did you see Rowett do that? I don't know. Can't remember. I'll take your word for that, Mike. He's had a word in the ear of Obafemi, who must be loving having coaching from an ex-striker. Back to Harris, the link is matching the player's style, the resources that he has, to the crowd's participation. I think that's a crucial point you're making there, Mike, because what Neil's done is brought the Den back into play. It had gone missing for good reason, because it was so boring, wasn't it, down the Den. And as a small fish in a very big pond, we need to play to our strengths, says Mike, and that's what Neil Harris is doing. I'm hoping I've captured that in a nutshell, but I want to say a big thank you to Mike and to Andy, actually. You know, we agree disagreeably. I think there's another show that says things like that. So anyway, there we are, dear listeners. I think I've probably reached the end of the line. I've reached the end of my notes. I'm going to try and sort the app out on my note-taking app on my iPad. And I'm going to close it there. So big thank you to everyone who's contributed to today's show. Thank you for you to listening to it. And until the next edition, which probably won't be now till the West Brom game. I might have a few days with R&R. Until the West Brom show, thank you for listening. Arrivederci, Millwall. Bye for now. Afton. Millwall.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.